Okay. There we are. There's Rapunzel. Now, only good-looking and intelligent people can read this. So you can see what I like about Christmas. I like lights. Wherever there's lights, I'll go and see them. I went uptown to see lights. I go around my area and I find somewhere with lights. I take Susan to go and see them because I love lights. And in fact, if you come in my garden any time of the year, there's lights. I love lights. And, you know, but I want to talk about Christmas today. Well, obviously, I want to talk about Christmas. Here we are. I want to talk about foolishness. Have you, only, as I say, any good-looking people, good-looking and intelligent people can read that. If you can't read it, just pretend you can. It says foolishness. And I want to talk about, at Christmas time, I want to talk about the foolishness of God. And you go, hang about. I didn't think God was a fool. I thought it was supposed to be clever, you know, and important and intelligent. There's different types of foolishness in the Bible. There's one type of foolishness that says there's no God. The Bible says those that say there's no God are foolish. And there's another type of foolishness because the Bible talks about, if I'm going to stop that doing that, hang on, I'm going to move that. Shh. There's another type of foolishness. There's a foolishness that says the foolishness of God is wiser than man's strength. There's the foolishness that says people say that someone died on a cross and that can make a difference to our lives today. And a lot of people say that's complete foolishness. How can that be? Some guy who was a rebel dies 2,000 years ago and he's going to make a difference to my life now? Forget it. That's crazy. But you know, the Bible also says to those who believe and are being saved, that's the wisdom of God. So to some people it's complete foolishness, to other people it's complete foolishness. And that's the foolishness of God. Because when Jesus came into the world 2,000 years or so ago, it was very, very, that's supposed to be an E, that's not coming out very well, never mind. It was, if it can go wrong, it'll go wrong. It's very dangerous. It was a very dangerous world. It was armed and dangerous. The Israelite people being overtaken by the Romans. Don't you dare step out of line. If the Romans were around, you've only got to breathe a little bit of rebellion. And man, they're going to be on you. It's a dangerous world. And not only that, they put a very dangerous man in charge, a man called King Herod, who was a complete nutcase. He was married 10 times, apparently. And he killed loads and loads of his sons because he had loads of kids and he didn't like them because they might take over his kingdom. He was completely crazy. They reckoned in those days that there was this saying around that it was safer to be one of Herod's pigs than to be one of his sons. Well, he did take on the Jewish faith because he wouldn't kill pigs, would you? Because you don't eat them. But, you know, but the whole point is it was safer to be one of his animals than to be one of his boys. Because you're so very likely to be killed. So it was a dangerous world. I'm going to do something very dangerous now. I wonder whether I had time to do this, but you know, it wouldn't be Christmas without me doing the Christmas trick, would it? So here we go. I need a volunteer, a very, very brave volunteer, because this involves water. Alan, you always volunteer. Man, give this man a round of applause. He's very... I didn't ask him. I didn't... Yeah. Alan, have you got a change of clothes, Alan?
No.
You've been baptised before, haven't you? Yeah. I was there. I was there when you were baptised. Yeah. Well, you could get wet again. Never mind. If you get wet, that's tough. No. I'm sure Bailey will lend you his top. And I've got a spare top. But take that, just in case it all goes wrong. Because you never know, as I say, when it goes wrong, it's already been going wrong already for me tonight, so I don't stand a chance really, do I? I'm going to do a scientific experiment with this water. I'm going to make it very dangerous because Alan will kill me after he's bigger than me. Because if he gets wet, man, I am going to be in trouble. He's never going to volunteer for me again. But the point is this. Sometimes we do things that are very dangerous. God did something that was very dangerous. He came to this earth. It's a dangerous place to live, isn't it? You think it's dangerous to live here? You've only got to drive down the road. Man, it's dangerous, I'll tell you. You know, I was coming home from fishing the other night. I collided with a bloke on the way out. Midnight it was. Do you know, we looked at the cars, they weren't damaged. That was amazing, wasn't it? Fortunately, I collided with a nice bloke, we had a nice chat. His name was Nathan, and we went off. We hadn't damaged their cars. But it's dangerous out there, isn't it? It could have been worse, couldn't it? But it's a dangerous place. There was another guy a little while ago threatened to kill me because I cut him up. Man, he got out of his car, he wanted to kill me. It's a dangerous place, it's a dangerous world. But you know, the thing is this very dangerous because
Well, it is dangerous because, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this in the bath. It's a good place to do it. If you get a bit of cardboard like that, and then you put it over a cup that's full up, what happens when you turn it over? Nothing. It stays where it is because of air pressure, yeah? I don't know if we've got any scientists here, but it does work. Because if you watch this very carefully, now I'm going to do it over Alan's head because that's the most best place to do it, because science does work, Alan. Do you know you're a scientist? Yeah, my sister's a scientist, but I'm not, so you could be unlucky. So here we go. I'll put this over here. Now, you might get a few drips, Alan, but hopefully. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
I hate this bit. Oh, man, that is good, isn't it? Now this is, I want you to tell me, are you Alan's friend? Anybody Alan's friend? Put your hand up if you're Alan's friend. Okay. No, the rest of you is enemies, so that's great. Okay. Would you like me to take the cardboard away while it's over his head? You're his friend, Josephine. Yeah. Take a note of that, Alan. Yeah. Don't buy a Christmas present this year. No, would you like me to have a vote on this? Who doesn't want me to take it away? Oh, Bailey, mate, you're a real friend. Who wants me to take it away? Oh, man, sorry, Bailey, you lost. You're outvoted. Only one of you. One against... Oh, man, 400. See, the thing is this. That's science, yeah? That's a miracle. Oh! Yeah, look at that. Now, the thing is this. The water does actually come out. How did that happen? I don't know. That's just amazing, isn't it? The thing is this. Give him a round of applause. Oh, man, that could have gone wrong. Thank you, Alan. He didn't get baptised again after all. We don't believe in second baptisms anyway in this church. The old Anglicans, they believe in sprinkling. I didn't even do that. But the thing is this. If you're an Anglican here, I hope you don't get offended if you're Anglican. I'm not having a go. Foolishness of God, dangerous, dangerous world. Herod was a horrible man. He comes into the world. The people of Israel were looking for a saviour. They were looking for, who was prophesied in the Bible, they were looking for who were they looking for? The Messiah. They're waiting for the Messiah to come. He'd been prophesied. They knew he was coming. And so, but what do you get when you get a dangerous world? The world's dangerous out there. You've got to go for it in the world, haven't you? You know, if you're not aggressive, you're not going to make it. You've got to aggressively sell yourselves. My boy used to work in a bank. He said, Phil, you've got to be more aggressive. You've got to sell the stuff. The people aren't in here for us to serve them. You've got to sell them stuff. My boy left the job. He couldn't do it. But the thing is, if you're a teacher, you've got to be aggressive. You've got to go for it. If you don't get the results, your headmaster's or your head teacher's going to lose their job. You know, you have to be aggressive. Everything's aggressive, isn't it? And you might say, well, I'm not aggressive, Steve. But you know what it is to be passive aggressive? You know how to not talk to someone, don't you? Because you don't like, I ain't going to talk to that person again. There's loads of people I meet on the street. I am never going to talk to my brother again. I've got a cousin who says that. Man, I ain't got a brother. I never talk to him again. We know how to be aggressive, don't we? But the thing is, he came into an aggressive world, and it's an aggressive world now. It's an aggressive world then. So they were looking for a man of power. A man of power. Because when you've got an aggressive world, you've got a dangerous world, you need a man of power. They wanted someone to set them free. And what did God send? I'll show you what he sent. We know what he sent. We've seen it already. He sends a helpless baby. Man, that's foolishness, isn't it? You send a helpless baby to rescue the world. It's dangerous. And what happens to the baby? Within 5 minutes, he's a refugee and he has to leave the country into a place that didn't even speak his language. And he had to go there till Herod was dead. God is crazy, isn't he? But he sent Jesus into the world for a reason. You know, somehow he was going to change the world. You see, Jesus, he didn't come armed and dangerous like the rest of the world. He came helpless, full of love. And what did the world do? Did they say, oh man, this world, this man of love who's chosen to treat each other really well, who's kind to people, did powerful miracles. What did they do to him? They preferred hate and aggression to love and peace. They said, we're going to get rid of him. Because when he grew up, it wasn't popular. It wasn't popular when he was born. I mean, there were a few people who came. Of course, there was the shepherds. And they came. And when they went away, amazed. on what they'd seen. And they went and told Paul, look what we've seen. This is amazing. And later on, maybe a couple of years later on, we put it in the Christmas story, but maybe he was just a little boy in nappies. And who came? The wise men came. I'll put three of them up here, and they brought their gifts. But you know, there's probably more of them. We only say it's three because of the gifts. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshipped. They recognized this baby as someone really special. He didn't come armed and dangerous. He was someone amazing to them. But the rest of the world ignored him. The rest of the world did what they went about their business. And later on, the really powerful people said, we don't want him. We wanted a man of power. And what did God send? He sent a man of sorrows. The Bible said he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, acquainted with suffering. Why did Jesus suffer? I say in some ways he was full of joy. But you know, I was thinking about this a little while ago. He's a man of suffering. He was acquainted with grief. What does that mean? You know, I believe that he had so much love in his heart that it broke his heart when people, his own people, and ordinary people around just wouldn't accept him. And I think it still breaks his heart today when the world says to God, we'd rather have aggression and power than your love. Many people just walk past us on the street when we preach the gospel. Some people stop, some people listen, but many, many just pass by with no thought of God at all. And yet God really, really loves. Something I've learned this year is God loves me more than I can know. And all he wants back is for me to love him back. You know, when someone loves you and it's requited love, and you completely ignore it. If you love someone dearly and they completely ignore you, it completely breaks your heart. You know, God loved us so much that he gave his son and he died on a cross for the things we've done wrong. Did Jesus do anything wrong? No. But you know what Jesus said? If you kill me, I'll come back to life. And that's exactly what he did. And they saw him go into the clouds. And he said, I'm coming back. Today the world's dangerous, isn't it? It's a nasty place out there. We were just talking about all the things that are going on. I was listening to the radio just the other day. And they were saying, this country, we're not ready to defend ourselves. We've got to spend more money on defence. We've got to get more armed and dangerous. Because we've got a whole world that's against us. Maybe we need to get armed with love. Maybe we need to realise that Jesus came completely open to being defeated, effectively. In the end, he won the victory, didn't he? Because he won the victory over death. He won the victory over sin. He won the victory and he said, if you follow me, you can come with me. You know, this world's going to get a lot more dangerous. You know what Jesus said? He said he was coming, and he said he'd come back to life, and he did. But he also said this. He said, before the end, it's going to get a lot worse. And if I don't come back, nobody would survive. Doesn't it feel like that now? You only got to watch the news. If I don't come back, nobody would survive. Maybe we need to do what they did and... Maybe we need to come and bow down. How do we do that? We come and bow down by saying, Jesus, will you please allow me to come into your kingdom? Thank you so much for loving me, for giving your life. Arsene Wenger. Remember Arsene Wenger? He was the manager of Arsenal, wasn't he? For a long time. I liked Arsene Wenger. Always spoke the truth. He said lovely things about Charlton Athletic when they beat us. But he said, Charlton are a hard team to beat. And I was a Charlton supporter at the time and I respected that. But you know, Arsene, just a year or so ago, said this on Match of the Day. In fact, he's not there as a manager anymore, is he? And he was talking about football And it got to Christmas time. And you know, Christmas time is pretty important if you're a football fan. Because they reckon if you're at the bottom at Christmas, you're going down. And they said, Arsene, your team ain't doing too well when it's Christmas time. You know what Arsene said? They said, listen. They said, Christmas is important. Really important. But Easter is vital. He was talking about football results, wasn't he? Actually, that's so true, isn't it? Christmas is important. But Easter is vital. Because that's where he gave his life for us. A man in the Psalms wrote this about God. You can read it for yourself in Psalm 5. He said, you hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Ever told lies? The bloodthirsty and deceitful. Ever been deceitful? Ever wanted someone's blood? Often. Normally when I'm riding my bike uptown. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, in reverence, I bow down towards your holy temple. How does he do it? By God's great love. It's the only way forward, by God's great love. Are you ready to bow down this year? Thanks for taking a chance, Alan. It's a bit of a chance trusting God, isn't it? I tell you what, not trusting him, you're on your own. Love him today, because he loves you so much. God bless you. Have a great Christmas. There's a little leaflet about Christmas up there. I brought some. It says, why Christmas? Please take one. And say a prayer in the back and put your trust in him.